you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now.
Hi, I'm Stan Raven. I used to be from somewhere else, but I'm not there anymore. And you are listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
Follow WGXC on Facebook or Twitter. There will be constant updates of on-air interviews, community news, weather warnings, and more at twitter.com/WGXC. And those WGXC Twitter messages also go to facebook.com/WGXC radio. Tune in to WGXC on 90.7 and at the web at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Art Omai, a sculpture and architecture park and international residency center in Ghent, New York. Open daily from dusk until dawn. Art Omai presents the work of contemporary artists and architects across 120 acres of field and forest. Information at artomai.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Though he seemed loyal in public, he worked behind the scenes to stir up, arouse, incite revolution.
Geek on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre Catskill Hudson. Corey McCaslin here with a healthy amount of news. Maybe not the best word to use as Hollywood's reopening is threatened by the predicted surge, but here we go. Who are you?
I'm Batman. Again.
The rap broke that Michael Keaton is in talks to return to the cowl for the eternally lagging Flash movie starring Ezra Miller, which is back to being a rework of the Flashpoint reboot story, and pretty much the only way to get fans excited about seeing that again. There's also since been a rumor Christian Bale is a backup choice, leading me and some others to say, well, why not give Clooney a shot at redemption if all else fails? Reportedly, this would lead to Keaton Batts taking on a role similar to Nick Fury and the Hulk in the MCU, appearing in other movies like the in-development Batgirl film, which was what was being reported about Henry Cavill, son of Krypton, before the prior news broke, but Cavill has since shot that down. This has no effect on the beginning of Bat-Pat. In fact, we're going deeper into that beginning on a different platform. It's been announced that HBO Max has given a commitment to a prequel series that will go deeper into the roots of Gotham's corruption, show run by movie helmer Matt Reeves and Boardwalk Empire creator Terrence Winter. Finishing the Trinity, Patty Jenkins told Total Film she's put development of a third Wonder Woman and the Amazon spinoff on hold, wanting to absorb the full impact of current events before proceeding. However, that hasn't stopped announcement of an animated series that would be in canon with the films and explore Themyscira's history. Search for a successor to Ruby Rose as Batwoman has ended, with GodFriendMe's Javicia Leslie taking on the role of successor Ryan Wilder. Deadline revealed the first project in Westworld showrunners Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy's development deal with Amazon is a live-action series based on the Fallout universe of games. As J.K. Rowling burns down the world of adulation she's built up, Bloomberg reports Warner Bros. Interactive and Avalanche are developing an open-world video game set at Hogwarts for release next year on PS5 and Xbox Series X. Evil Dead Rise, not Evil Dead Now, it turns out is the next installment's name. Bruce Campbell explained in the Diabolique, the film will have a new setting as well as new leads. YouTuber Chris Champagne reports this is due to action being set in a high rise, to which I like to imagine Dario Argento and Lamberto Bava would say, been there, done that, and prefigured The Ring while we were at it, with Demons 2. Adjacently to the house Raimi built, Kwajal Ejiofor confirmed he'll be back as the now anti-sorcerer crusader Mordo in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Meanwhile, J.K. Simmons told SiriusXM he shot another J. Jonah cameo and is set to do a third. Back in comics land, all the Fox properties are now in the House of Ideas, and it was announced through IGN Marvel will be publishing comics based around Aliens and Predator. Meanwhile, those wacky Pirates of the Caribbean will get a new leader, Heat Vision confirming rumors Margot Robbie will star in the Christina Hodson penned installment. Our first set starts off with a novelty completely of his time, a protest song written in response to the Dodgers moving to LA. Here's Phil Foster with Let's Keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn.
Say, did you hear the news about what's happening in Brooklyn? We really got the blues about what's happening in Brooklyn. It ain't official yet. We hope official it don't get. But beware, my friend, and let me warn you. They're thinking of taking the bums to California. Let's keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn. Our house is not a home without some love. Don't let them leave our premises. L.A. will be their nemesis. Cause Brooklyn fits the Dodgers like a glove. Mr. Walter O'Malley, we always called you Pally. We stuck with you through thick and thin. But if you take away the Dodgers, guys like Campy, Nuke, and Hodges, we ain't your pal no more the way we've been. Let's keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn. Our house is not a home without some love. Don't let them leave our premises. L.A. would be their nemesis. Cause Brooklyn fits the Dodgers like a glove. We offer our bridges, you can take them with you. We have a couple we could spare, but we all feel so glum without the Duke and Gilliam. We need one left to jump off in despair. Really, what would Brooklyn be without the Dodgers? Well, Brooklyn would be like a pair of socks that's holy, without Jackson and Simoli. Like a bed without a pillar, without Erskine and Perilla. Like a ship without a harbor, without Padres and the barber. Like the sun without its shine, without Zimmer and Levine. Like the birds without a bee, without Alston and Pee-wee. And here I am, a poet, and I didn't even know it. So send the Phils to Trenton, the Giants to St. Paul. But keep the bums in Brooklyn, the greatest ball of all. So let's keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn. You heard our plea, at last we had our say. Your mind is in a fog if you take them to that smock. Leave the Dodgers in Brooklyn, USA. We really love them, keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn. O'Malley, do me one favor, mind your own business and stay home. Don't leave town.
What now?
Ladies and gentlemen, Unchained Melody. Yeah.
Set of the show started with Phil Foster's Let's Keep the Daughters in Brooklyn, Peter Sellers and Spike Milligan's cover of Unchained Melody, and socialist rock band Red Shadows with Anything Good. Starting off our block of animated news with more of a forecast, Sony Animation President Christine Belson predicted at a conference that the success of Into the Spider-Verse, shifting demographics, and animation development adjusting to COVID rather than shutting down will see more adult-targeted animated movies. Perhaps this is why Paramount's making a second go at theatrical animated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, prior attempt being at worst meh in my opinion, and nostalgia aside, better than the live-action sequels. The next SpongeBob movie will also be the next to go the PVOD route, as third installment Sponge on the Run will hit premium VOD early next year before going to CBS All Access. August 6th will mark the date we rarely go where no one has gone before, CBS announcing that date will see the premiere of animated comedy Star Trek Lower Decks on All Access. On the liveification front, Deadline broke that Elizabeth Banks will follow in Lily Tomlin's shoes to put the pedal to the metal on the Magic School Bus for Universal's live-action adaptation of the children's classic. They also announced Jason Momoa will portray a different kind of watery protagonist, voicing Frosty the Snowman in Warner's live-action take. Controversy hit the Chicken Run sequel almost as quickly as it was announced that Netflix would be the platform, and not because of Mel Gibson. Unsurprisingly, he isn't returning, but then it was revealed by Julia Sawa on social media she's been told her voice is too old for the role now without even a voice test, which she provided herself along with clips of the original to show that that is BS. This is probably because of the really should have been debunked by now belief on studios' parts that they need new, bigger names for animated movies, and now instead they've plopped face first into ageism accusations. Despite what some claimed, Cartoon Brew, in response to some reboots, revivals all being in this segment of news with, there are some completely new ideas being given the animated treatment. Just a few days after that alluded to headline, Deadline announced HBO Max is given a pilot order for Chinos, an animated comedy focused on Los Angeles Asian Americans from Fresh Off the Boat's Eddie Hong and character designed by tattoo artist Dr. Wu. So what is the reboot slash revival that have some animation nerds up in arms? MTV announcing the dueler duo of Beavis and Butthead will return in a new series under creator Mike Judge for Comedy Central, with two new seasons already ordered and some specials and possible spinoffs in the works. Yes, questions of the relevance are understandable, but give it a chance. Remember, the point of the show was how stupid and unlikable they are. But hey, Phil Lord and Chris Miller are bringing back Clone High as well, so there's that, and it's a guarantee they will that'll be woke, given it was their caricature of Gandhi that got them canceled the first time. Finally, and something I should have reported last installment but didn't bookmark and thus forgot till I sent my show in, the Daria spinoff Jody, originally planned for Hulu, is also headed to Comedy Central. Blackish's Tracy Ellis Ross will voice Daria and Jane's overachieving classmate entering the workforce under showrunner Grace Nkenge Edwards, and naturally is planned as a backdoor for a potential Daria-verse of tunes. So, to celebrate something I'm not sure I wanted but won't reject are a couple of songs used as background music in Daria, starting with Morcheeba's Part of the Process. Loud, changing places, falling proud.
Chances never around, and it's all part of the process.
Daria BGM set began with Morcheeba as part of the process and was followed by Monaco's What Do You Want From Me? The house that Walt built is honoring his tradition of combating unions, even if it's over piddly little things like protecting employees from pandemics. Actors' Equity Association rejected Disney World's reopening plan because of persistent refusal to provide testing to park performers and thus have not joined other unions in okaying furloughed employees to return to work. The Boycott Mulan movement began after lead Liu Yefei's open support for Hong Kong's police has gained new steam in Thailand in response to the mainland's fascistic new laws for the island. COVID may have flipped the trap on another iconic mouse as the Long Island Chuck E. Cheese filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy even as it reopens. This follower piece reminds me of the time Homer said that's the end of that chapter, as both Hank Azaria and Mike Henry have stepped down from their respective roles as Apu and Cleveland on Simpsons and Family Guy. Taika Waititi's Peaky Films is serious about giving Maori culture some cinematic representation. Announcing through Variety, development has begun on 3 projects showing the effects of colonization through indigenous eyes. They are an adaptation of Tina Makariti's novel, The Imaginary Lives of James Poneke, about a Maori teen's experiences in 1840 England as a live exhibit. A movie adaptation of Angela Dravid's award-winning stand-up show, Down the Rabbit Hole, about her running away to marry an older man and ending up in British prison. And for TV, Michael Bennett and Jane Holland's crime thriller, Better the Blood, about a Maori detective's hunt for a serial killer. Recent events have sent Brooklyn Nine-Nine's next season back to the drawing board. Terry Crews telling Access Daily showrunner Dan Gore has tossed his completed scripts into the trash so he and the cast and crew can reimagine it. Paramount has picked up U.S. distribution for Lee Daniels' first film in nearly a decade, which will be The United States vs. Billie Holiday, starring Andra Day and dramatizing the singer's persecution by the government resulting from the ban on her classic song Strange Fruit. That's not it for Mr. Daniels, as along with Fred Savage, he's got a pilot order for ABC for a reimagining of The Wonder Years, set in the late 60s as the original was, but telling the story of a black family in Montgomery, Alabama. Now, as we come up on the bottom of the hour here on WGXC 90.7 FM with Forgotten Geek, here's what's considered one of the few good songs on the album that came out of Greg Allman and Cher's short marriage, Shadow Dream Song.
I meant to call her name, I meant to take her hand, I meant to be the same and understand just what was happening in the evening between the princess and the prince. Can't be bothered now, I cannot eat or drink, I can't remember how I used to think. What was that song she sang in the morning about the princess and the prince? A crystal ringing way, she has about her in the day. She's a laughing devil shadow. Yes, she's a my mind.
could hear her voice, if I could see her face, if I could wish and be most any place, be where I saw her last on that evening past with the princess and the prince. Yeah. And the
Take me down, little Susie.
Welcome back to Forgotten Geek on WGXC. After Greg Allman and Sherry's Shadow Dream Song, we heard the Rolling Stones with Dead Flowers. Our last two sets are memorials, starting with legendary film composer Ennio Morricone. It would take most of a show to list his credits, from classics like The Dollars Trilogy and Once Upon a Time in America, to obscure knockoffs like our first song, the theme to Bond ripoff Agent 077, with lyrics sung by Maurizio Graff.
I dream that's a bombshell, Bloody Mary, the kind of a brew that hits and you catch your breath. There is yet another Bloody Mary that is not a drink, but it's a weapon of death. A strong drink, a big bomb, Bloody Mary. If you want it, come and buy it. It might cost you your head, and bloody you'll be dead, but you'll be rich or blind. Poor Bloody Mary, you gambling man, it's time that you show your hand. I'm selling the big bomb, oh Bloody Mary, it'll give you the power to be the king of the land. A strong drink, a big bomb, Bloody Mary, if you want it, come and buy it, and buy it, pass you your head. You'll be dead, but you'll be rich for Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. The same price, Bloody
Our Morricone tribute started with his and Maurizio Graf's theme to Bond knockoff Agent 077 Mission Bloody Mary, and then the beautiful Regan theme from The Disastrous Exorcist 2. I'm ignoring the easy transition for our next memorial because we are here to praise Joel Schumacher and not bury him, even though this set ends with a song from his most infamous disaster. But Lost Boys, Flatliners, Falling Down, yeah, it was problematic back even then, whatever. Even A Time to Kill, and definitely Phone Booth, which is still underrated and recommended. We'll start off with Peebo Bryson's theme from DC Cab.
The city angels meet, making a stand against the odds. You can feel the heat. It's making or breaking. Try to survive. Gotta reach for the sky. If you want it, fight for it. I'll kiss it goodbye. It's make it or break it. Try to survive. Don't ever say never.
your string. Faces come out of the rain when you scream. No one remembers your name when you scream. When you scream.
Look out.
The Joel Schumacher musical tribute started with Peebo Bryson's theme for DC Cab, then Echo and the Bunnymen's cover of People Are Strange from The Lost Boys, and ended with Michelle Nagicello's theme for Poison Ivy from Batman and Robin. I hope Mr. Schumacher went out knowing that he did not commit the worst version of the Caped Crusader to celluloid after all. Speaking of bad cinema, Heads Up Misty's The Mads, Trace Ballou, and Frank Conniff's riffing of Ed Wood's autobiographical Glenn or Glenda will live stream on YouTube and Eventbrite July 21st, with a portion of proceeds going to the NAACP's empowerment programs. Thank you for listening to Forgotten Geek. This has been Corey McCaslin. We'll be going out with Colorbox Tarantula 12-inch version 1.